Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
I'm Duarte Geraldino, Deputy Managing Business Editor for Al Jazeera Digital. I'm in for Tanzina Vega, and you're listening to The Takeaway. We start with COVID-19.
It's a very contagious virus. It's incredible, but it's something that we have tremendous control of.
The worst is yet ahead for us. It is how we respond to that challenge that's going to determine what the ultimate endpoint is going to be. The worst is yet ahead.
Two different views from the same lectern on Sunday, President Trump and Dr. Anthony Fauci talking about where we're headed. The news was tough all over. There are now widespread shutdowns of all sorts of places where we gather. Multiple cities ordered bars and restaurants closed, and the largest school district in the U.S. is taking dramatic steps to slow the spread of the virus.
To all parents who are hearing this now, there is no school tomorrow, and we will be suspending our public schools until after the spring vacation.
That's New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio on Sunday announcing the closure of all public schools in the city effective today.
By closing our schools now, we may not have the opportunity to reopen them in this full school year.
A lot of local leaders are echoing that sentiment in multiple states. Coronavirus doesn't just affect public health, the economy is also on a turbulent road. Today, even after the Federal Reserve announced it's dropping interest rates to zero in order to stabilize financial markets, Wall Street plunged Monday morning. As infections and deaths rise, the federal government is floating around the idea of banning domestic travel to slow the spread of the virus. President Trump already placed sweeping travel bans on European countries. Some experts don't think domestic travel restrictions are necessary, and among those is the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, Dr. Anthony Fauci. But even he admits, keeping you safe may mean some restrictions on travel.
I mean, they've been discussed, but not seriously discussed. I don't see that right now in the immediate future. But remember, we are very open-minded about whatever it takes to preserve the health of the American public.
That was Fauci on ABC's This Week. Fauci and other leaders in the fight against the coronavirus want you to, quote, hunker down, echoing the CDC's calls for social distancing. Fauci also says a two-week nationwide shutdown would not be an overreaction. The CDC is now recommending that no gatherings of over 50 people happen for 8 weeks. Nicole Noria is an immigration reporter for Vox. She's been covering the coronavirus outbreak. Hey, Nicole.
Thanks for having me, Duarte.
And Daniela Ompad is also with us. She's an associate professor of epidemiology at the NYU School of Global Public Health. Daniela, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me as well.
So, Daniela, you're a public health expert. How does traveling, that actual process of getting on trains, buses, automobiles, spread the virus?
So there are a couple ways in which the virus can be spread during the travel process. First, you are often shoulder to shoulder with other people, and we know that there are likely to be a large proportion of people who are infected but are asymptomatic. And so you are in close proximity, possibly to people who may be actively able to transmit the virus. There's also the issue of all the surfaces on trains, on planes, that can be contaminated with the coronavirus. And there are some studies that suggest that the coronavirus stays on surfaces for hours to days, depending on the type of surface. And so it's possible also for transmission by touching those surfaces and then touching your face.
To clarify, Daniela, you say that the virus could stay on surfaces from hours to days. Do you mean plastic versus cloth versus metal? What are we talking about?
Exactly. Because so the studies that I have seen have suggested that coronavirus can stay on plastic surfaces for at least a couple days.
I see. So, Nicole, China was the first country to enact a travel ban. Was that ban effective? What did we learn from it?
So preliminary research suggests that the domestic travel restrictions implemented in China coupled with international travel restrictions may have helped delay the spread of the virus by a few days. And something like that could be really valuable in terms of buying time for governments and communities to prepare. So public health experts have been telling me that there could be a window in which banning international travel can help buffer against the spread of the virus temporarily.
There were so many people who criticized China's move, saying it was too draconian. But now, at this point, are we considering what they did an effective measure? Might that happen in the U.S.?
Domestic travel restrictions could happen in the U.S., as we just heard from Dr. Fauci. That doesn't seem to be something that's immediately on the table, but we could definitely potentially see some travel restrictions in areas where there are high levels of transmission. For example, Washington State and New York State and the city of New Rochelle.
Danielle, in terms of screening, what would we need to happen at the airports or at the bus terminals in order for these travel bans to be effective?
So first of all, I think we need to recognize that it's not just symptomatic people that we need to be concerned about. We also need to think about people who may have been exposed previously. So we need to ask about potential exposures. But it's difficult, right? Because we can ask people if they've been in crowds or been within 6 feet of each other, but that's just about everybody at this point. So I'm not sure that it's going to be easy to screen people for these travel bans.
So what are we likely to see if they start screening people? How are they going to actually screen someone? Is it a questionnaire? Is it taking temperatures?
It may be a questionnaire. It may also be temperatures. And so it's definitely easier to identify people who have symptoms, which is the dry cough, the fever, and the shortness of breath. It's much more difficult to identify people who may have been at risk for exposure.
And what's the window? How long before you actually show any symptoms?
So what we've been seeing is that the average is 5 days, but the range, I think, is 2 to 14. So it's actually quite a wide range.
Mm-hmm. Nicole, I know you've been following the travel bans. We have many cases in Washington State, California, and New York. The thought that it could be spreading domestically and the idea that we could restrict that in some way, do you think it's possible to actually restrict that domestically?
Yeah, for sure. It's not exactly clear how it would work in practice at this point, but the federal government does have the power to regulate interstate commerce, and people moving across state lines would be included in that. So federal officials could potentially quarantine someone who's seeking to enter the country or seeking to cross from one state into another. But mostly individual states have primarily the legal power to decide how they respond to coronavirus. So this could be also a call that's coming from the state level, where state leaders decide to just quarantine people within their states. And we could see that coming down. And I think there could be some legal challenges to that, but courts have historically deferred to public health officials in times of crisis like this.
Danielle, for people who absolutely have to travel, is one mode of travel safer than another? Say, for example, cars versus buses or trains?
I would say that if I had to travel somewhere, I would try to do it in a car to the best of my ability. Obviously, that works for shorter distances because you are going to be limited in the number of people that you're going to be in contact with. And the times at which you'll be in contact with people are at the gas station, at the rest stop, but it won't necessarily be as much continuous exposure to other people as it would be on a bus or a train or a plane.
Nicole, is there any way that the travel ban may actually be increasing the spread of the disease?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, unfortunately, the rollout of this has been really messy. Trump failed to communicate during his announcement of the ban that U.S. citizens and green card holders would be allowed to come home. And that's what caused, you may have seen the photos of crowded airports both in Europe and in the U.S. over the past few days. And in Chicago, for example, there were hundreds of people packed in lines for hours while they waited for these health screenings. So those are the exact kind of conditions that we've been instructed by public health officials to avoid. And yet this is what happened as soon as the ban was implemented. It's unclear at this point whether there was a lot of transmission going on there, but as we know, people can be asymptomatic for quite a while. So there's no real telling how much damage was done there in terms of spreading the virus.
Danielle, on a very, very local level, how safe is it for us to travel within cities, to visit neighbors, across town, to see friends? What are some of the public health concerns with public transportation and just that neighborly knock on the door?
So I would encourage people to stay home as much as possible and to limit their interaction with other people. It's not always about you as the individual, it's about our community. And there are lots of people in our community who are at increased risk for severe coronavirus or even death. And so the risk of going across town, for example, on a bus or a train is that there may be other people on those modes of transportation who are infected either asymptomatically or symptomatically. So there's a potential for transmission there. There is also the potential for transmission by touching some of those surfaces and touching your face. So to the extent possible, we should rely on telephones, or internet communication for the time being. If you have to go see somebody, make sure that you avoid touching as many surfaces as possible and washing your hands thoroughly, as has been discussed previously, before you interact with anybody.
Nicole Narea is an immigration reporter for Vox, and Danielle Ompad is an associate professor of epidemiology at the NYU School of Global Public Health. Danielle, Nicole, thank you both for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.